The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Wolverhampton, Huntingdon and Taunton in the afternoon. Chelmsford City will provide the action in the evening, and we'll squeeze in some of the action from Maidan as well where possible. But just a note, Huntingdon and Taunton both inspecting on Thursday morning. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to some of the action is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Afternoon, yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Good. Plenty to talk about as well. We've got a big weekend of racing coming up, providing
the
weather doesn't get in the way. And there's quite a few interesting stories knocking about. And as the week's progressed, I get the impression that they're getting more and more bullish with Saïd Agrougi. He obviously makes his return in the game Spirit Chase this weekend. At the start of the week, they were saying he's okay, but he might not, you know, might not be fully primed. But as the week's wearing on, I get the impression that the field... he might be able to run a good race there, and Jamie Moore saying he's not going to go easy on him.
Well, they've seen what has been declared. He only got six entries, and realistically, nothing should trouble him. He's rated 172 in unofficial handicap ratings. Mr. Moore, most likely runner, rated 155. I think Viper out of Artax is going to go to Warwick.
Yeah.
Alexandra, Alan King says he's not a definite runner, and he's 161. So, handicap ratings, he's got at least £10. To £17 in hand. So realistically, he's not going to have to be 100% to win anyway. So I think that's probably why they're probably a little bit more bullish. Obviously, he must be working well at home. And I think every hope that he'll be back reasonably to his best. And I think he's got an excellent chance. For me, betting-wise, it's going to be difficult. I'm going to use it as a purely watching exercise, because we're going to see how good he is, compare his comeback to Sprinter Sacra, and just hope he comes back sound and ready to go. Slight concern is the injury. Obviously, he did pick up a slight setback. The way he's come back so soon suggests it wasn't really too serious. And hopefully, it was just more a strained muscle, and he will come back to his best. So, great to see him hopefully back on the track on Saturday. Shame the competition does look a little bit weak. Mr. Moore is a little bit revitalised this season. He was called some names, even by his own jockey. Tony McCoy wasn't the greatest of fans. But switched to front-running tactics. Another horse that I think Paul Nicholls over the summer has got them back to their best, and you've got to give him a bit of a squeak, really, because you would imagine that Jamie Moore's going to take a lead first time back after absence. He says in the paper he's going to be not holding back on big return. Yes, it's a grade two, big race in its own right, but he's already won all these big races. For me, they're going to be making sure he's peaking at a champion. So, yes, he's going to give him a race, but I don't think he's going to be ultra, ultra hard on him if he starts blowing up inside the final couple of furlongs. So, yeah, a fascinating racing prospect, and interesting to see what's going to happen. For me, it'll just be a no bet and watch, but hopefully we're going to have a clearer idea of what's going to happen come Cheltenham on the 11th of March in the champion chase itself.
Saïd Agrougi 8-11 at the top of the market at the moment, by the way. Mr. Moore 3-1. Alexandra 9-2. 6-1 for Vibrato Valtat, but looks like he's going to go elsewhere. 9-1 for Upsilon Blur, and Karinga Dancer is a 16-1 outsider. So that's how the betting stands at the moment. Another of the big races this weekend is the Betfair Hurdle. Me and Rory Delaghi touched on the chances of Calypto a little bit yesterday. They were quite confident about him running well in the race. He's 5-1 at the top of the market. Activial 7s, 12s for Foschino Rustico, 12-1 for Sign of a Victory as well. 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. And an interesting little side plot there, isn't it? There's Nichols runner in Calypto, and then you've got Harry Fry's Activial and Dan Skelton's Foschino Rustico. So,
well, Foschino Rustico is obviously an ex-Nichols horse as well. And Dan Skelton seems to have turned this horse inside out. He was a very expensive purchase from winning a bumper. I think they paid a fair bit of money for him. £310,000 did Paul Nicholls back in April 2012. And basically, it was a massive disappointment for the yard. Disappointed in the Cheltenham bumper. Over hurdles, not really set the world alight. He was a maiden over hurdles when he came to Dan Skelton. But two starts, two wins. And it was only a novice hurdle. He won that banger in Newcastle. So it's hard to know exactly what he achieved, but he wasn't favourite on either of those races, and connections were keen to get a penalty into him so he could get into this race. He's number 25. He should be okay. He should get in. And the Skelton team, like I said, they've made a really big impression. And this will be a feather in their cap if they get this one to win a big race, because basically Paul Nicholls couldn't train him last year. And it would be amazing if Dan Skelton's got this one back to his best. It's a very, very tricky race. Really hard to see what's exactly going to happen. And probably not quite as classy as it normally is. Top weight, Sign of Victory is rated 149. Normally you see things rated a little bit higher at the top of the weight. So it's a pretty compressed handicap. They're all carrying plenty of weight in very heavy ground. So it's going to be pretty testing. I did like Sign of Victory at the start of the week, but probably that the softer ground could be a little bit of a concern, as his best form is on good. It was good ground when he won at Ascot, beaten Dowalan. So probably going to count against him. Seedling, I think, could be the one I might just chuck in each way if that one runs for Warren Greatrix. He's three novice successes this year, Plumpton and Cheltenham. Good effort last time at Cheltenham. It has made his handicap mark up to a 1.44, but I was really impressed with the way he did that. And he goes on heavy ground, good to soft ground. So 16-1, he might be my each way squeak, but that is a really tough competitive handicap. Calypto, like you said yesterday, he's been a little bit disappointing this year, but kind of preserved for this race a markup of 1.43, not been seen for 112 days. He should be fresh. But some of the Nicholls horses have been disappointing lately, so for me, I'm not massively confident about that. Actaval was strongly fancied behind Bayham, and he beat a couple of lengths last time out. So real strong bet there, hurdle. But for me, I'd probably take a bit of a chance on Seedling each way at 16-1.
Okay, good racing on Saturday. Good racing on Sunday as well from Ireland. A card at Leopardstown which features four Grade Ones, including the Hennessy Gold Cup, and Boston Bob and on his own. The Willie Mullins pair are the 3-1 joint favourites as we record this. Callingford Lock is 4s, 5-1 for Fox Rock. Lord Windermere is 11-2, and then 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Willie Mullins has got a very good record in the Irish Hennessy. I think he's won it 10 times, and he's got the top two in the market there. Well, the joint favourites in the market. So do you look past either of those?
I think they're the ones to concentrate on, really. Like you say, 10 wins in the race for Willie Mullins. I think he's probably going to make it 11. He's Boston Bob and on his own. Going to be hard to split them as it normally is between the pair. For me, Lord Windermere, obviously he's running in the race, but he doesn't really ever show his best in Ireland. It seems to be only really when he comes to England. Like most of Jim Colotti's horses, they only seem to perk up once they cross the channel. And I think for him, hopefully they'll see him bounce back from a slightly disappointing run in the Lexus. And I thought his first run was pretty good at Dam Royal, but I think bringing him back, hopefully he can show a little bit more. But no, probably I'll stick with on his own out of two of those. But market says got it about right. There's very little between them in the market, and I think there'll be very little between them in the race. But on his own probably be the one that I will go for out of those two.
Yeah, and Lord Windermere finished sixth in this race last year before going on to win the Gold Cup. And I think Hennessy Gold Cup winners in Ireland have a particularly bad record going to the Gold Cup if they've won it. So it might be better if he does get beaten.
Definitely, I wouldn't really. As long as you see his fit and sound, that's what I think you're going to learn from Lord Windermere. Because generally, like I say, last year was a bit of a non-event for him in Ireland. And then he came to win the Gold Cup. So it's hard to know with him, but I was impressed with his first run. Not so much last time. I'd say we'll be learning a little bit more about his Cheltenham chances on Sunday.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of Cheltenham as well, a bit of news. Dynast will not be defending his Ryanair title. He's been pulled out. He's going to miss the rest of the season with injury, which is a bit of a disappointment. And Champagne West as well, also missing the festival. So come
on
to rule
he
out.
He ran a shock, didn't he, Champagne West on Saturday, and that's probably the reason why.
He's got a hock injury, I think, Champagne West.
Yeah, probably why he jumped so bad. And it does provide an explanation, but obviously frustrating for him to be ruled out for the season. And he's got a little bit of a chip in his hock, where Dynast, unfortunately for him, I think he's strained a tendon. And very, very frustrating. He looked to have a great chance in Ryanair, because he doesn't stay for a mile two, which we found out when he ran in the January trial at Cheltenham. It is disappointing, but it just shows you how hard it is to get these jumpers sounded. And it just reminds you what a great job Paul Nicholls did with Kato Starr and Denman to keep getting them to come back time and time again, because jump horses, like I said, they are really, really hard to keep it, just keep them on the track, never mind keep them in top form. So that's where it really is hats off to Paul Nicholls, because time and time again he brings back his horses. And I'd say that's probably the best achievement he has, actually, not just even winning the races, just getting them back just to run. So, yeah. Shame for Dynast, shame for David Pike, because that was probably his clearly best Cheltenham hope but unfortunately it happens from time to time, especially with these jump horses.
Yeah, Don Cossack now the 4-1 favourite for the Ryanair, by the way. Q Card is 7s, 8s for Champagne Fever. Chicadam is 10-1 with John Spirit. Alpha off 12s, as is Boulder Succès and Marfilet. And 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. It does open the Ryanair up a little bit.
Yeah, you might get Champagne Fever, Alferov questioning should they be running in Champion Chase. It's going to be clear, I think, when we see Sardar Gruji come back.
Yeah.
And obviously, Spina Sacra, something could go wrong, maybe. You never know before then. So I think Ryanair and Champion Chase markets really into you. I should see what's declared on the 48 hours. Once declarations are made in March, for me, I would be really wary of having a nanny post bet, because Dinas coming out of Ryanair, Sardar Gruji, if he gets beat on Saturday, it really does open up both races, and connections are going to have to, of Alferov, Champion Fever, it's going to be quite hard to actually decide what race to go for. So connections won't know, and as punters, we definitely won't know. So it is a bit tricky backing out in post, but like I say, it certainly opens up the races.
Yeah. Anything else caught your eye, Mr. Millman?
Cheltenham-wise, like I say, going back to Saturday, I was still impressed with Peace & Co. Slightly disagree with boss man Ben, who's not keen on him at all for the triumph. I have informed him otherwise. But yeah, I was impressed with the run on Saturday. No pace, and he still did it nicely. So I do like him a lot. Peace & Co for me is my banker for the triumph.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. Let's move on to Thursday's action, or what's left of it anyway. We'll get James's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, starting in the 5.10 at Wolverhampton, which is the first race that James has picked out. Obviously, with doubts about the jumping, we'll stick to some all-weather action. And this one is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for four-year-olds and older. We have 8 of them in the lineup for this one. And Trimula is quite interesting, given that he's only had 4 starts, got off the mark at Chelmsford City over 10 furlongs last time, and probably open to more improvement than some of these.
Definitely, he's unexposed, isn't he? It was in his 4th start handicap debut, making a nice success at Chelmsford City. Offer mark is 65. Interestingly, because this is an extra meeting, he's gone at £5 to rate in a 70, but because he was rated 65 when the race closed, he's still eligible for this Class 6 contest, when realistically he's probably never going to run a Class 6 ever again. So yeah, it's the last chance to run this grade. Obviously, connections have taken the opportunity of this extra meeting, and they looked to found a really nice opportunity for him, because generally he's against the field of exposed horses. You've got a 9-year-old Sergeant Pink, 8-year-old No Lucky, 8-year-old Cabochon. The Irish runner could be interesting. Habesh, who's had plenty of races at Dundalk, but his last effort was pretty disappointing. It's just 6 days ago, beating 12 lengths and coming over to the UK. Could be an issue. Mazids did win at Wolves under Shelley Burkett, off a £4 lower mark. Slightly disappointing over a mile 5 at Lingfield, but to be fair, not beating far, only beating 3 lengths back in the 6th place. That's probably the main danger under Shelley Burkett, who's riding really well at the moment. But I think they're well placed by Daniel Kubler, kept an eye out on this extra meeting. And I think Trimoulet has got an excellent chance of making it back-to-back wins. He could be a very progressive performer.
Okay, Trimoulet in the 5-10 at Wolverhampton then. The 6-10 at Chelmsford City is where we go next. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. This one's just for the 3-year-olds. And some interesting ones in here. Patrick's only had the 1 start, and it was a winning one. Harry Hurricane arrives in pretty good nick as well. You can't really rule out a few of the others, the likes of Cheerio Sweetie and Lackaday. It's quite an interesting race, this.
Definitely very, very interesting. Patrick obviously made a winning debut at Lingfield. It was 7-1, so reasonably short in the market. Not just it was a massive surprise. Generally, Richard Fahey's 3-year-olds on whoever need their first run, so you'd imagine he's going to come on plenty. Given a racing post rating of 73, handicap market 72, which suggests that he's reasonably well treated. Still one good draw. I think there's plenty in Patrick's favour. He's definitely the interesting one, because generally the others do look a tad exposed. Harry Hurricane got off the mark at Wolverhampton. I know he's highly regarded by the George Baker team. He ran at Royal Ascot and he beaten 10 lengths by Houtenay in the Windsor Castle, and then ran the Super Sprint 13 lengths behind Tiggy Wee. So that's not bad efforts in competitive races. Made a winning debut as a 3-year-old in a maiden at Wolverhampton. Not disgraced off a £4 lower mark behind Primrose Valley, but up £4 for that second place, I think, it's a little bit on the harsh side. So he's going to have to improve again. Lackaday's been in really good form for Woody Jarvis and Charles Bishop, winning a handicap of £3 lower mark at Lingfield, and second here at Chelmsford City over 5 furlongs. Stepping back up to 6, I think, will suit. So he's the main danger. But for me, Patrick, 1 start, 1 win, unexposed. I think he can improve. And under Paddy Mavis, obviously David Nolan probably can't do 8s and 8. I think he's got a good chance. Cheerio Sweetie could be interesting. This one made a winning debut by 9 lengths at Lingfield, but if memory serves me correctly, she was at a little bit on the small side, Cheerio Sweetie. So whether that was just a bit of a flash in the pan, that first run, running to a mark of 80 at Lingfield back in April, 10 months down the line, mark of 77 would seem fair on that bare form, but it's whether she can achieve anywhere near that, because all four runs have gone the wrong direction. So that's a concern with Cheerio Sweetie, but keep an eye on the market for that one, because you wouldn't think Di Walters would keep her in training if she wouldn't progress. So just keep an eye on the David Evans runner. But for me, Patrick is the one to be on.
Okay, Patrick in the 6.10. And the 7.10 is where we finish. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 5 furlongs. We have 7 of them go to post in this one. And Royal Bajan's been in pretty good nick of late. He's finished somewhere near the frame in his last 3 starts. His form figures read 4.32 coming into this. Will it be a 1 next, James?
Possibly. He's in good form. The 7-year-old, he runs a lot, and he's out nearly every single week. But really good form recently. Good effort behind Zach Brown, who was a very impressive winner here at Kellingsford City. So you know he handles the track and the surface. And back at his beloved Fibre Sand at Savile. Good second behind Perfect Pasture in a 20 grand handicap. This is a slightly lower grade, up £2. He is £7 higher in his last win, which is probably a slight negative. He'll run his race, but I'm probably going to go elsewhere. Long awaited, it's going to be the selection. David Barron's runner ran in some nice races last year, second in a 25 grand handicap at Haydock, off a £2 higher mark, and then ran in very valuable races, not disgraced in a 50 grand handicap at Haydock behind High on Life. Good races at York and Catterick the last twice. This is a marked dropping grade for long awaited. Got the blinkers on, and still free. David Barron's making a fair trek down to Kelmsford from his northern yard, and I just think a lot of these are perhaps a little bit high in a handicap or not quite good enough, and he's the one for me to be on. Secret Asset's interesting. A 10-year-old now, used to be very, very good. He was in Dubai a few seasons, ran in Singapore, and was a great performer. Slippery Slope last year, but starting to get back in a bit of form. Third at Kempton Office, mark of 80, and then third again here at Kellingsford behind Gishan last time out. Same mark of 80, same hood and blinkers combination with Martin Dwyer on board. He's probably dangerous, but still 7 could be a little bit tricky from the wide store down over the minimum 5 furlongs. So for me, long awaited will be the selection.
Okay, long awaited then for James in the 7.10. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, then, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, in a 5.10 at Wolves, I've gone for Trimolet, Daniel Kubler's runner. Very impressive on a handicap debut. A well-spotted opportunity by the trainer. He can run in a 0-65 at his rescheduled meeting or new meeting. And I think he'd be very, very hard to beat. In the 6.10 at Kelmsford, I've gone for Patrick, who made a winning debut for Richard Fahey at Lingfield. I think he can make it 2 from 2. And finally, in the 7.10, long-awaited, give David Barron another sprint winner at Kelmsford.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:25 PM. Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott will be in the studio. It's racing from Wolverhampton in the afternoon on the all-weather. Hopefully we'll have Huntingdon and Taunton to go alongside that as well, but those two meetings subject to inspections in the morning, and then in the evening Chelmsford City and some of the action from Maidan. So still plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.